Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me in studio today are three very important and wonderful friends and guests. Joining me is Teresa Leonetti, who is the DPS at St. Francis Gabrini Parish in Fairless Hills. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's great.
And then Mr. Tom Stefanik, a sacristan at St. Francis Cabrini Parish. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Dave. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, likewise. I'm glad you made it up. And my very faithful reading partner of 10 years is Marion McCormick. And you might have heard her just in the last couple of weeks. She and I did a piece on St. Patrick, which was a very, very good piece, Marion. Thank you for doing that with me and for our listeners. I invited these folks up because Teresa, at a Bible study, about 3-4 weeks ago, introduced into our Bible study The Woman at the Well by John Shea. But before we launch into that reading, Teresa, tell us more about yourself. How long have you been at St. Francis Gabrini?
I've been at St. Francis Gabrini since September this year, actually, mm-hmm. September 2022.
Wow.
I forgot we are in 23, right?
Time flies.
Yes, although I grew up so close. I grew up in Northeast Philly, St. Anselm's Parish.
Welcome. Tom.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been a sacristan, you said, for 6 years at St. Francis Cabrini in Fairless Hills.
Yeah, coming up in July, it'll be my anniversary of 6 years of being in a position of a sacristan.
Yeah.
I've been with the parish since its founding in 1953.
Wow.
Went to school at St. Francis and served as an altar server and moved up to a sacristan.
Well, very good, very good. But in between that, you had a career, right?
Oh, yeah.
Other careers, yeah. Life outside the church.
Yeah. If that I worked 36 years in state government in transportation. And after I retired, I went back to going to daily mass, which I did when I was working, but at different parishes, mm-hmm. and full-time at St. Francis, and then started ministries in the church then at St. Francis Cabrini.
Right. Hmm. Well, thanks, Tom. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful man, ladies and gentlemen. He's a very holy guy and a wonderful guy, very humble. Marianne, let's move to you.
Okay.
Many of our listeners are familiar with you.
Yes.
And, but tell us, remind our listeners, you know, what your career was. You had a big advertising career.
I did. I was in advertising and marketing. I was a vice president of agencies in Philadelphia, and also I was taken up to Rochester to work for an agency there. So I brought that back, and I've been in the parish about 20 years now, but I spend my time volunteering, making myself, I hope, useful.
Excellent, Marianne. Thank you. So I'm going to ask Teresa to, as I usually do, I want to start, and I like to start with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. So, Teresa, would you kindly lead us in that prayer?
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you, Teresa. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind everyone, and you're listening to WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County. And now we're going to embark on the reading, the little radio play, as I call it, or they are. I'm recording this, but once we launch into this, Teresa is going to play the part or the role of the narrator. Tom will play the role of Jesus, and the woman at the well is going to be Marianne McCormick. So, Teresa, before we really launch, you gave a beautiful description of how you came by this and your educational journey.
Sure. So I first saw this story being performed by one person, Heidi Russell, Dr. Heidi Russell, when we were back as students at Washington Theological Union in Washington, D.C. And it was just this wonderful opportunity. We also, each year, we celebrated all the arts, from the creative performing arts to the horticultural arts and even culinary arts. So a whole week to celebrate. And Heidi performed this one performance night. It just blew my mind. It was so beautiful to hear the story done from the woman's perspective.
Excellent. Okay. Without further ado, let's begin. So Teresa, if you will start.
Jesus was tired and he sat by the well. It was noon. Those who have ears to hear this story. Those who have eyes to see, see the scene. Anything can happen at a well. The man who was sitting on the small stone ledge that circled the well slid off, turned to the woman who had just arrived, smiled, and said,
"I'm thirsty."
She had seen him at a distance. She had stopped to readjust the yoke which straddled her shoulders. A bucket hung from both ends of the yoke, and when her steps were not perfect, and they seldom were, the wood cut into the flesh along the nape of her neck. She took the pain for granted, but from time to time she stopped to shift the weight to more calloused skin. From bruise to bruise, she thought. It was as she straightened from her bent posture to gauge the last ground left before the well that she saw him. He appeared to be waiting for her. Her mind raced. She thought of turning around and making for the village. But if he wanted to, he could easily overtake her and take what he wanted. Then she cursed. Why did she not come earlier in the day with the other women? She knew why, but right now, that humiliation looked better than this danger. Then a plan formed out of her panic. She could see by his dress that he was a Jew, and he would probably walk away, most likely after some quick insult and with a great show of disdain. If not, she could make him go. She would steal herself. Hide her mind, harden her heart. She knew how. She had been there before. It was not the first time.
"I'm thirsty,"
the man said again. It was so blatant it took her back. At a distance, she could manage him in her mind. Up close, his presence was almost too much. But she recovered quickly.
"Who isn't? The sun would fry a lizard's tongue."
"Give me a drink."
"You, a Jew and a man, ask me, a Samaritan and a woman, for a drink?"
"I have a simpleton on my hands," she thought.
"Thirst makes friends of us all,"
the simpleton said.
"I will help."
Before she could protest, he moved the lid off the top of the well and stood waiting for her to give him the bucket.
"I'll do it,"
she said. She let the bucket fall down the well. The splash rang up from below. She swung the rope sideways till the bucket at the bottom tipped and filled. Then with quick successive jerks, she pulled it to the top. The man waited at her side. He said nothing. If he thinks he's going to be first, she thought, he thinks wrongly. This is our well, and it's my bucket. He will learn who he is here. She rested the bucket on the ledge, hunched over it, and splashed water toward her mouth. She drank like an animal that had been worked too long in the sun. All the time her eyes darted from the water to the silent man at her side. He was smiling. The simpleton has missed the meaning, she thought. When she was done, she stepped back. The man did not move. She waited, then, finally, jerked her arm toward the bucket. Slowly, he cupped his hands, dipped them deep into the bucket, and brought the water to his mouth. as he drank. His face was turned up into the sun, and the water ran and glistened in his beard. He drank like a bridegroom, loving the first cup of wedding wine. With his lips still wet from the water, the man turned to her.
If you had asked me, I would give you living water.
The well is deep.
Her tone was instructional. She felt as if she were giving a child a lesson in logic.
You do not have a bucket. Therefore, how do you propose to fetch the water?
Yokes and buckets are always the problem, aren't they?
Said the man. His arms flew up in the air in exasperation. A smile popped open her eyes, but her lips stayed tight and disapproving. Not a simpleton, she thought. A child. Just a child. The child had a question.
Do you have a husband?
The question slapped across her face. Not a child, she thought. A man, just another man.
I have no husband.
True enough,
said the man.
For you have had 5 husbands, and the husband you have now is not your husband.
Do you have a wife?
She spat back.
I have no wife,
said the man.
True enough,
the woman said.
And the woman you had last night was not her either.
The man laughed, like someone had taken him and turned him upside down. He is enjoying this, she thought, but not for long.
Besides, prophet, the number is not 5, but 12.
I was never good at numbers.
1 for each tribe of Israel,
she said, and thought that would do it.
Very pious of you,
said the man.
Very pious.
This time she could not catch the laugh in her teeth and swallow it back. It escaped and howled out like a prisoner finally free in the sun.
You are very hard to get rid of,
she said, but now she wasn't sure whether she wanted him to go.
Everyone says that,
said the man. One more try, she thought, and this Jew, like every other man, will surely leave me.
Tell me, O prophet, who is not very good at numbers, where should we worship the living God, on the mountain or in the temple?
The man grew silent and closed his eyes. He seemed to be traveling deep within himself to some sanctuary where she could not follow. So this is it, thought the woman. It will be in the name of the living God that he will spurn me. When the man opened his eyes, he caught hold of the woman's hand.
God is not in the mountains, but in your thirst. God is not in the temple, but in the scream of your spirit, and it cries to me. Ask me, and ask me for a drink.
Not just another man, she thought. Not just another man. She pulled her hand back.
I don't ask,
she said, as if her whole life was in every word.
Even without a bucket, if you ask me, I will give you living water.
So they sat on the ledge of the well, under the sun, which shines on good and bad alike. They spoke no words. Finally, he reached out for her hand. She let him take it.
Give me a drink,
she whispered.
What?
Said the man.
You, a woman and a Samaritan, ask me, a Jew and a man, for a drink?
Thirst makes friends of us all,
she said and smiled. The man took her hands in his and formed them into a cup. Together, their hands dipped deep into the bucket and brought a cradle of water to her lips. She drank it slowly, with her head back, her face open to the sky. She drank like a deer with the thirst of summer, like a field parched by drought, like a desert wanderer finally at home. With her lips still wet, she said to the man,
sometimes the yoke and buckets cut into my flesh so bad I want to yell with pain, but I never do.
I know.
Then she told him all about the husbands who were not husbands. She told him everything she ever did. Everything she ever did, she told him. All the time she spoke, she cried. When she was finished, he said,
I know.
Then he told back to her everything she ever did. Everything she ever did, he told back to her. All the time he spoke, he rubbed the nape of her neck where the marks of the yoke were the most punishing. It was just as he had finished his revelation of her to herself that she saw the other men. His friends were coming towards them.
they will be scandalized to see me here with you.
By now, he held her in his arms.
Probably,
the man said.
I must go.
She eased out of his embrace and moved gracefully away from him. As she walked away, she turned often to look at him. Whenever she did, she always found him looking at her. Even when his companions gathered around him, he stood on the ledge of the well and watched her go. Finally, she was so far away she could not watch him watching her. Then she could not get to the village quickly enough. Once there, she went from house to house and told people about a man who was not just another man, who taught her how to drink. It was only after she had stirred up the entire village that she realized she had left her yoke and buckets at the well, and for the first time in memory was not thirsty. The curious villagers formed a circle around her. She stood in the middle and proclaimed,
I met a man who told me everything I ever did, except how many times.
And she laughed high and long. Some of the villagers said it sounded like she had a fountain of living water springing up inside her. Let those who have ears to hear, hear this story. Let those who have eyes to see, see the scene. Anything can happen at a well.
Thank you, Teresa, Tom, and Marianne. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
So, Teresa, let me ask you this about this reading. What is the meaning of this? And when you led that Bible study at Cabrini on that Wednesday, you brought this, and it was a beautiful reading. But what is the teaching here?
Well, it's for us as Catholics, this is the reading, the gospel story that is for the third week of Lent on year A, or whenever there's a people who are coming into the church, it is always that year. It's always this reading is always the third because of the scrutinies. Mm-hmm. So I, at my last position, I was at St. Matthias in Somerset, New Jersey, as director, pastoral associate of liturgy and RCIA and small groups. I did a lot of things. So I got to do this every year. This was a passion of mine because, for one thing, this woman at the well is a true narrative. It's one of the only conversations that we have that Jesus has in the whole gospel, all the gospels. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be with a Samaritan woman, not just a woman, but a Samaritan. So there's so many lessons there. There's so many lessons between the Jews and Samaritans. You could take it that way, a man and a woman, that conversation. But also, more importantly to me is that sense of, I think she represents us, right? She represents those times in our lives when we feel alienated because she was out at high noon when it was the hottest of all. And so she was alienating herself and from the people who criticized her, right? So I'm sure we can relate to that, mm-hmm. that feeling of being alone and isolated, but yet Jesus always comes around. Jesus mm-hmm. is there. She yes. comes upon him. So that feeling of we can't get away from Jesus either, that he's going to be there to ask us questions, to have mm-hmm. to remind us that he has the answers for us. Mm-hmm. If we can just open up our hearts and just listen and receive the living water.
Well, thank you. And, well, the word thirst. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, we talk about, well, I'm so thirsty, I need to slake my thirst. I mean, on the worldly stage.
Physical
but, I mean,
health, yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, water is healthy for our yeah. bodies, but in the spiritual sense, that's what this is all about, you know? If we just embrace the living water, Jesus, and right. he is the true vine, the true water. We won't have to go to any other spring on this earth if we have him at the center of our being.
And
is
just
that right?
Accept, yeah, sure. Accept and receive. I'm always dealing with I'm thirsty all the time. Where I got to, I also shared that day that I got to be in Lima, Peru for a volunteer experience right after college. And there was no running water in Lima. And, you know, it's a cosmopolitan city for the most part. But in our little neighborhood, one man controlled the water and it came through a spigot in the house, actually at the side of the house. So we would have to fill up buckets and you never knew when he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. I remember the one day they had a big party and we heard it till the all hours of the night before. So he woke up from all late because of all the festivities. So we had to go around the whole house and fill up buckets, like mm-hmm. even toilet water, everything, kitchen water, everything to cook with, clean with, came from this one spigot. So, and then we went up into the mountains after that, and that whole experience of being in the mountains, and you got to learn the blessing of water and how holy it is and how good it is for us. But yes, the sense of spiritual, I think we are so spiritually thirsty, but we look to other things to fill it up.
Oh, yes.
So many other things.
Yes.
But when we can come to terms with our lives and just in utter surrender and just say, I give up and I need you. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think we can be quenched and welcome Jesus into our hearts.
Amen, sister. Very good. Very good. Tom, you want to add anything?
Yeah, sure. Thinking of water, it brings me back to my baptism. You know, the living water that I got for the first sacrament that I received way back. And it just makes it grow. You know, how water makes plants grow and all that. And my baptism has made me grown in my faith, you know. So it's a blessing for sure. And it was a blessing for Teresa to ask me to play this part of this reading, and I'm very happy that I was asked to do it.
So am I.
Thank you.
And Marianne, how about from your perspective about this reading and thirst?
This reading is beautiful because it talks about thirst, which is part of our everyday life. And you know, we cannot overemphasize its importance. But this puts it in a beautiful context that we can certainly relate to. And I know I definitely relate to it, how often I feel thirst. And how often Jesus quenches it for me.
And I like what you said, Teresa, if we only surrender. And it makes me think, well, there's so many things, but Jesus, I trust in you, and that surrender. And it's often hard to do that, but the key, the miracle, is just try it. Because once you do, and you do surrender, watch out, stand back. If you really say, Jesus, I really need you, I trust you, and he will take over. He will fill you. And just always go back to that well.
Right.
Well, Teresa, we're coming up on the end. Would you close us with a prayer?
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious God, we thank you for bringing us together for this time to share your word, to share the love that you show to this woman, that you continue to share with us, to pour out your living water so that we may never be thirsty, but count on you to fill us with love, light, and love, glory. We thank you for all you are to us, and we bless your name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, thank you, Teresa, Tom, and Marianne, for coming up to the station today to do this special edition of The Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And I want to invite you ladies and gentlemen, our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, the remaining week and a half of, we're in Lent, right? But so, I mean, it's not too late, you know, remember almsgiving and feeding the poor and prayer, and it's never too late. It's never too late to come back to our Lord Jesus Christ. And especially coming up on Holy Week, just make it a really blessed Holy Week. I know we're busy, but you need to carve out time, and you need to come to church and be with Jesus. This is Dave Parker, another edition of The Spirit of the Delaware Valley, and I want to thank you for listening, and God bless, and talk to you soon.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. we're honest. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, it would change our lives. It would set us. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, if we're honest,
that was If We're Honest by Francesca Battistelli.